With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good to have you with us. We are 3 hours from the weekend. There is some news that I want to share with you. We'll get to that. Also, Bryce Harper declaring the NL East the most stacked division in Major League Baseball. Mike Conley, he's actually pointing the finger at his team for the reason why he didn't get selected to the All-Star game. And yes, it's a joke. It's tongue-in-cheek. Really pointed comments by KJ Wright about Russell Wilson and the pressure that he has put on his offensive line, and also whether or not he should have been venting his frustration outside of the locker room. And Frank Reich weighs in on Carson Wentz and why this was a big move for the Indianapolis Colts. So we have a lot to get to on this edition of the show. But because I put a post up about Black History Month, it matters to me that you're responding. And what I wanted to do is just highlight one athlete whose story made a major impact on me. I wish that I had seen Jesse Owens run. Now, there are a couple of reasons for this. Number one, I am a lover of Olympic track and field. Before gymnastics, before figure skating, before swimming and diving, I love Olympic sports. But track and field was my first love with the Olympics. And I'm not telling you these are the first Olympics I watched, but some of my favorites. I used to cut out pictures of Florence Griffith Joyner and Jackie Joyner Kersee and Carl Lewis. I lived and died with every race that Carl Lewis ran when I was a kid. And so I loved track and field at the Olympic level. And Jesse Owens' story isn't just about the Olympics. He was also the first Black captain of any major sports team at Ohio State University. His family story, the poverty, the way his parents took care of him and his siblings, if I'm not mistaken, there were 10 of them. The way that he competed, yes, but also the statement that he made at the 1936 Olympic Games, which were taking place in Berlin in front of Adolf Hitler. His courage in the face of unbelievable opposition inspires me. Did you know he used to race horses for money? I mean, and people would criticize him, of course, because people criticize everything. Even back then, he would race horses for money. And very often, so they'd give him a 40-yard head start, and then he would take off, and the horses would get running behind him. Very often, he would beat them at the wire. What? I wish I had seen Jesse Owens run. Now, he's just one example. I gave you a couple of others from the track and field world. But I really appreciate your responses. And we're retweeting a bunch of them from our show account. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. A poll up about the Texans and Deshaun Watson. We got all kinds of goodies out there to make this last overnight of the work week fly by like nobody's business. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. I have seen a couple of you respond with Tiger Woods, that he's a Black athlete. Now he's a bunch of ethnicities mixed together. Remember, he used to call himself Coblin-Asian, Afro-Coblin-Asian, something like that. He's got a ton of different ethnicities, from Asian to African American. He's all over the map. But it's great because there are a lot of young people who watched him play golf who thought, hey, he looks more like me. I want to be like Tiger Woods because he's finally a golfer who looks like me. And so to see your answers, Tiger Woods, especially after the week in which he's been the number one story in sports for the wrong reason, I appreciate that because, yes, he changed an entire sport with the way that he played, with his integration into it. And, of course, golf will never be the same. I hope that he's back on the tour at some point, but even if he isn't, his legacy is intact and will only grow, actually, the older he gets. Phil Mickelson is the latest to weigh in on Tiger Woods. So Phil is playing on the Champions Tour in Tucson. And he tweeted, but it was good to hear his voice talking about Tiger and his recovery.
All the guys here understand and appreciate what he has meant to the game of golf and for us and the PGA Tour. And so we all are very appreciative and supportive of what he's done for us. But right now, that's so far from our minds. And I thought Rory McIlroy really said it well when he said that we're just lucky and appreciative that his kids didn't lose their father. So we all are hoping and praying for a full and speedy recovery. But we're also thankful because that looked awful. And we're thankful he's still with us.
Agreed. And we're hearing that sentiment from all over the place. But Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods have a special relationship. It's gotten better, more friendly as they've gotten older. Earlier, it was as rivals, and really they were pitted against one another, and Tiger liked it that way. He felt like he had the edge, the intimidation factor over Phil Mickelson. And let's be honest, many times he did have that edge over Phil or anybody else that dared to challenge him in his red shirt in the final round of big golf tournaments, majors especially. And so it's good to hear from Phil Mickelson. If you hadn't seen the latest news, Tiger Woods was transferred to a new medical center in L.A., so Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. It's actually famous for the privacy that it keeps for those who are being treated there. I don't know if that's why he was transferred there, but the great news is he was actually stable enough to be moved. I was thrilled with that. So he left Harbor UCLA Medical Center, and he is now at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in L.A., and his doctor has indicated that this is about his care and his recovery. And he's still in Southern California. No idea when or if he might be able to travel home. But right now, the most important thing is that open wound and preventing infection. And so I'm sure that they appreciate the care at Harbor UCLA. It was actually that hospital that revealed Tiger Woods had left. It wasn't Cedars-Sinai. It wasn't Tiger's team. No, they had to get it from the hospital that was left behind. But it is great news that he was actually able to be in an ambulance and get to Cedars-Sinai and that there was no danger of further damage. Just the fact that he could get out of his hospital bed is incredible. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Again, on Twitter and Facebook, I'm trying to get to, well, trying to keep up with you peeps, trying to get to all of your responses. But thank you so much for being so active with us on this edition of the show. Let's go to our phones here. Greg is listening in Houston. Greg, welcome to After Hours.
Thank you, Amy. I haven't talked to you in a long time, but I still listen to the show.
Sweet.
And if I were the Texans, I'd stand firm right now because, really, he is your quarterback for the time being. And, you know, you have to kind of say to him, look, we want to build around you. We want to build this team for the future if you're interested in staying here. And if I'm also some of the clubs that are asking, you know you're going to have to give up multiple picks and multiple players, especially if you're in the top three, four picks of the draft. And it's crazy to me that a club like the Jets, if they were to make this deal, would want Deshaun and not have enough pieces unless they're really going to spend a lot of money in free agency to put around him to make the team better in the next couple of years. Because they won't have picks if they decide to do it in this draft. They wouldn't have picks next year. And so they'd almost be putting themselves in the same position that the Texans would be in, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think from the Texans' perspective, a lot of people are pointing to the idea that they're rebuilding anyway. They don't have pieces around Deshaun Watson. Why not just let him go? But as you point out, he's the quarterback. He's the most important piece. And if you have that, you're already a step ahead of the game. And whether or not he changes his mind remains to be seen. But do the Texans gain anything by trading him now versus waiting? Maybe he does play hardball and miss an entire year. Guess what? They recoup that money. It's not as much of a loss for them. And if they're going to suck anyway, then what's the difference? I think, two, if they wait a year, his asking price isn't going to drop all that much. He's still a relatively young quarterback in his mid-20s. Maybe a year off would be beneficial for his body, though I can't imagine him giving up a full year in the prime of his career. But if that's what he chooses, yeah, I can understand why the Texans aren't in any hurry, for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jesse Owens. I don't know if too many people know about that 36 Olympic team. One of the members of that team...
I would say probably not our listening audience, no.
No. One of the members of that Olympic team was former U.S. Congressman Ralph Metcalf. And another one was the late sports broadcaster Marty Glickman. And he also played football at Syracuse and, you know, did a little bit of, you know, pro football as a player. And then most people, depending on how old you are, would know him as the voice of the Giants, the Knicks, as well as the New York Jets.
I had no idea, Greg. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
All right.
I love listening.
Awesome. Have a good weekend. 855-212-4227. Dan sends me this post on Twitter in response to my Black History Month tweet and mentioning Jesse Owens. He says, Harrison Dillard, same high school as Owens, 4 Olympic golds too. He was a World War II combat vet in Italy. Owens won the 100 meters in 1936. Dillard won in 1948. Harrison Dillard followed the hero from his East Side Cleveland neighborhood. And then he sends me a link to the story. He said Harrison died in 2019. I had not heard of him, but I'm really excited to read about him as well, because gosh, what didn't that man do? And that's just me reading 280 characters in a tweet. So I'm excited for some of these stories that you're sending to me. Thank you. Back to our phones here. Nathaniel is in Portland. Welcome to After Hours.
What up, A-Law? Happy Fri-yay!
Is it already your Fri-yay?
It is my Fri-yay. I just finished my last shift of the week! Which is great because the weather just caused my carport to come collapsing down and totaled my car.
Oh, no!
Yeah,
was it a bunch of snow?
Yeah.
Oh, no! Apparently
the Northwest can't handle snow and ice, and neither can my carport.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks, but, I mean, silver lining is I wasn't inside of the car or underneath the carport because I was literally on my way out the door to see if I could move my car, and I literally, like, watched it happen. So God has blessed me yet again not to meet a terrible end.
Oh, that you're still alive and ready to call a sports radio network, yes.
Indeed, indeed. Priorities, right?
Oh, don't make me laugh. That's awful.
I mean, this may be low-hanging fruit, but, I mean, I always looked at Jackie Robinson, you know, for a lot of reasons, but, you know, as, you know, someone who, you know, is kind of, you know, deals with, you know, anger issues and, you know, kind of like trying to, you know, having problems taking the high road. I mean, the intense scrutiny this guy was under and death threats and just people trying to, you know, egg him on and incite him. I mean, he had to muster up such patience and such grace under fire to not, you know, react and not paint himself as an animal or as an angry person or as someone who is going to be a troublemaker. So I always look to him for inspiration as well as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, as my main motivator and inspirer, you know, to find the courage time and time and again to, you know, speak up about things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's all I'll say about that. But what I really wanted to talk really quickly was about my Chicago Bulls this year and
what?
How they're finding themselves in the middle of this logjam in the Eastern Conference.
What?
And, like, I'm really
impressed.
Okay, can
I tell you, it's been maybe like, well, okay, going back to the Last Dance documentary with Michael Jordan and the Bulls from last spring, maybe we had a couple calls about the Bulls. But the last time we talked about the current Bulls, I don't even remember that, but yay.
Well, great. Let's interesting, different content. We'll go in a different direction here. I'm really impressed with the development of Coby White.
This kid seems like he's just got some serious star potential. And it's really great to see Zach LaVine get named to the All-Star team. And if you've seen the video of, like, his parents breaking the news to him, it's just, I mean, it just tugs at your heartstrings. And, you know, that guy is just, you know, almost carried, you know, carried our team in the last couple of years. And I think if Markkanen comes back healthy and we can land a free agent or two, I think we're really not that far away from being a contender. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right about the Eastern Conference, where there is a logjam. In fact, the East is thick around the middle. You mentioned Coby White. Well, Zach is averaging nearly 29 points per game. Coby is not only a guy who can score 20, but is also leading the team in assists. They have some good, solid core players in addition to a couple of budding stars. And so I think that's a good formula. Now, obviously, they're trying to rebuild the culture there. They're trying to all kind of grow up together. There are going to be teams where maybe they'll catch them by surprise, but they still don't have the developed talent to be a title contender. But as you point out, they're in the right conference. So they can just kind of do their thing and not worry. Maybe this year they end up with a playoff spot, which would be a huge boost. But right now, I mean, heck, the Knicks are sitting in the number six spot in the East, which is crazy. But they've got the same record as the Raptors, who won the title a couple years ago. The Bulls are just a game. Actually, they're the same one game below 500, but they're sitting in the seven spot. You've got the Hornets there in the eight spot. I mean, they're both ahead of the Celtics and the Heat, who went to won the East, went to the NBA Finals last year. So the fact that there's really only one or two dominant teams right now in the East tells me that it's going to be a total free-for-all. And you know what happens. When you do that, you're rolling the dice and anything can happen. So while I would say that a playoff spot this year puts them, you know, kind of way ahead of schedule, it's more about like house money. Man, what a confidence boost it would be for that young crew, right?
Indeed. And, you know, all you have to do is get in, get some experience. Who knows? Maybe you'd go in as a four, draw the five.
Okay, let's not get crazy, Nathaniel.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to say before I forget, my grandma Dibble says hi and God bless you, because she knows you and my man Jim Rome are my faves. And also to your grandma as well. And I just think Helen's of a feather, stick together, you know?
Oh, that's right. Exactly. Well, tell Grammy Helen that I said hello and I appreciate it. And thank heavens that you're still alive to talk about the Chicago Bulls on sports radio, Nathaniel.
Indeed. Horns up. All right. Take care, Amy.
Bye. Oh, no. I feel terrible laughing in any kind of a conversation after the poor guy says that he watched the carport collapse on his vehicle. He's right. It's better that he wasn't standing under the carport. But that sucks. So that was the reason I didn't park under the tree that's at the end of my driveway. So it's actually in this little narrow strip of grass between me and my neighbor. And that's why I didn't park under the tree when we got that 2 feet of snow, because I was worried about the snow being really heavy on the branches and maybe a piece of the tree breaking off and crashing onto my vehicle. What I didn't think about was by parking at the back end of the driveway, I was going to have to shovel the 2 feet of snow for a good 15 feet. So it wasn't the best planning. But yes, that's always a concern. I didn't know the carport would be that weak, though. Man alive.
That's a tough one. I mean, he was so excited at the beginning of that call.
Friday, he kept saying.
And then to think that he literally almost could have got crushed by that thing.
And maybe that's why he's excited.
He easily transitioned to Lauri Markkanen and Coby White. So who knew we were talking about the Bulls tonight?
I mean, it's impressive, his ability to segue. I wish I had those skills, Nathaniel. And thanks again for the phone call. Made me smile, though I feel guilty about that. So sorry. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On Facebook, fantastic answers, a variety of answers about Black History Month. Eric agrees Jackie Robinson. Chad goes more recent with Benjamin Watson, but what an awesome family man and football player and leader, a voice in not just the Black community, but in the political community as well. Benjamin's been fantastic. I follow him on Facebook and on Twitter, and he is fearless and he's wise, and he speaks to a variety of topics, and he's calm, which I appreciate about Benjamin Watson. Hammer and Hank. So Hank Aaron says Corey. Dale on Facebook, Sugar Ray Leonard. I met him once. What a person. Yeah, I have not watched much boxing in my life, but when I was a kid, my stepdad loved Sugar Ray Ray Leonard, so I did see him box a couple of times. Let's see, Ann, Arthur Ashe, absolutely a trailblazer in the tennis world. Dawn says, my husband tells it, this athlete became larger than life, paved the way for future black athletes at black colleges to really get their just due. She says one word, sweetness. Number 34, Walter Payton. Absolutely. A lot of you are saying Muhammad Ali. And then a couple of you saying Tiger Woods as well. And Daryl reminds us he was the first black golfer to win the Masters. So good answers. Keep them coming on Facebook or on Twitter.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Conley, right side to O'Neal, go and catch, attacking, kicks out to Donovan, Beverly closes, Donovan bounces it back to the corner, it's Mike Conley, right corner, three, it's perfect! Mike Conley, with 29, the most he's ever scored as a Jazz man, and he puts the Jazz up by six.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Utah Jazz have the best record in the NBA, and Mike Conley is the driving force right now, averaging nearly 6 assists per game. That's the most on the team, along with 3.5 rebounds, 16.3 points. So why, then, is Mike Conley not a member of the All-Star team in the West? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That's your call with David Locke on the Jazz Radio Network. We're going to get David on the show next week because we love what a homer he is, and I know Jazz fans do too. And this year, he is more fired up than I've ever heard him. All right, so this is Conley's explanation for why he did not make the All-Star team.
It was tough. You know, I really thought, this was the year. You know, I've joked with the guys on the team that I blame them. We should have started the year 31-0. Maybe that would have gave me a better chance, but I don't know what else to do.
So for Mike Conley to not make the team, it does feel like a snubberooski. But in the end, I say Mike Conley might actually win. So it's an opportunity to take a break. It's an opportunity to be normal, quote unquote, for a week to get that time off. And remember, there are a lot of guys who don't actually want to go to Atlanta to play in the game on March 7th. So I'm trying to find the silver lining here. But I know it would have been a nice professional nod for him, not to mention most guys have bonuses in their contracts if they do make the All-Star team. So Conley believes that there is actually a reason why he was overlooked.
A lot of these games we've played, we've won by, you know, a lot, you know, double digits. So, you know, you're not normally playing late in the fourth quarter and stuff like that. So we're just, you know, as far as statistics and things, like, our team is that good right now, and we've got such balance across the board. And it's frustrating to not get three in, whether it's me, JC, or anybody who's deserving of it for what we're doing.
The ultimate revenge, even as Conley says, is disappointing, and I'm sorry for him, but the ultimate revenge would not be starting out 31-0. Nope. The revenge would be winning the NBA title, right? So we've got them at 22 wins in their last 24 games. They've won 9 of their last 10. They are 20 games above 500, which is amazing. And they are now 4 games clear of the second team in the West, which is the Clippers. The Lakers, of course, have dropped 5 of their last 6. So while they have the same record as the Clippers, are a half game, well, same number of losses as the Clippers, let me clarify. They're a half game back. And so the defending champs, they've got some work to do. Not super worried. Not worried at all, really. No Anthony Davis. Dennis Schroeder is about to return. They will get it fixed. But the midsection of both the East and Western conferences are fascinating. That's where a lot of the work is going to be done, the grinding, so to speak. And I'm not sure if you saw the updated schedule for the NBA, but the second half, they finally set the dates where they're going to wrap up regular season play in mid-May, and then are going to end up starting their play-in tournament. Remember that whole 7-10 business that they did last year in the bubble? They're renewing that, and playoffs will start in late May. So it's kind of interesting. Typically, my vacation, I'm taking one this year. I didn't take one last year, but I am taking one the first week in May. So usually it's right in the middle of the second round of the NBA postseason, and I'm refreshed and I'm back for conference finals and for NBA finals, but they won't even have finished their regular season. So I'll be able to ignore sports altogether. It'll be fantastic. 855-212-4227. Let's work in a quick call here. AJ is in Akron, Ohio. Welcome to After Hours.
Thank you, Amy. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Great. Good to have you.
I'd like to comment. I've got two on your categories of athletes of race. To me, I admire the most was Hank Aaron. For 23 years or 24 years, he carried himself with such dignity and grace, not
class.
To mention excellence. I mean, he was the best. I actually thought he could run for president someday. The way that's what kind of a man he was. And let me ask you this: as far as entertaining, and you said something about track and field.
Yes.
Who was more entertaining than Usain Bolt? I mean, that guy was. He was just. Fun to watch.
He had a flair for the dramatic, obviously supremely confident, but could back it up so he could talk the talk and walk the walk or run the run, whichever you prefer. And yeah, I mean, the way that he dominated, the way that he glided, really. I mean, it at times he would stop to wait for his he would slow down to wait for his opponents to kind of catch up just for fun. I mean, he was toying with people out there, it seemed like. So yes, he put on a show every time he was on that international stage.
Did he actually one time turn around and finish running backwards in a race?
In the Olympics,
I don't think so. In the Olympics, but I mean in a race of some kind. Oh. You know,
we'll have to look that up. I do know he stopped. Well, he would slow down and look back. We saw that before. I'm not sure about the finishing backward. I'd have to Google it.
Yeah, that's incredible. When you're running a 100 meter race and you still can. Slow down and look back and still win. But,
yeah. Or the 200. He dominated that one, too.
200. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's good to hear from you, sir. Thanks so much for calling for the first time.
I'm a night owl personified, and I've been listening a long time. Like I said, first time actually calling. So
awesome.
Enjoy your show immensely.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. It's good to talk to you. Call anytime.
Take care.
AJ in Akron. I've used that airport many a time. The entire city smells like rubber, but that's not a bad thing. There are tire factories there, obviously. But that's what you can smell when you drive close enough to the factories into the city limits. But nice airport, easily accessible, at least the last time I was there. I used to rotate, so my mom's whole side of the family being from the Youngstown area, I used to rotate airports. I would go back and forth between Pittsburgh and Akron, sometimes Cleveland, because Youngstown's halfway in between Pittsburgh and Cleveland, but Akron was the closest airport. And wherever I could get the best prices, that's the airport I would use. But Akron was nice. 855-212-4227. On our Facebook page, whether it's an athlete that inspired you in honor of Black History Month or whether you want to weigh in on the Texans' choice with Deshaun Watson, you can do both of those things there. And then on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Nathaniel, our caller from Portland, just sent us photos of his car in the carport. Oh, dear. I feel terrible, and yet the man still has a great sense of humor. That's awesome. Good for you. So we'll get back to your calls, and also... Excuse me, coming up next, I wanted you to hear the latest on Russell Wilson. So it's not Deshaun Watson who is making waves in the NFL circles on Thursday, but also the latest on Russ, including from his own teammate who's not thrilled with him sharing his grievances publicly. The airing of the grievances. Isn't that Festivus from Seinfeld? The airing of the grievances.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
First and goal from the 4. Will Disley wings on the right side now. Russell on the move, left side. Pulls it down. He's going to run. He's going to get it in. Touchdown, Seahawks. As Disley came in motion, Russ just followed him to the left side. He wanted to throw. Nobody was open, but there was open green grass.
at the goal line, and Russ took advantage. The first touchdown of the game, Russell Wilson from 4 yards out.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steve Rabel on the Seahawks Radio Network. I feel like there's been so much NFL business, and then in lieu of actual business, speculation and rumor and conjecture, that I haven't had a chance to miss the league yet. It takes me a little bit. I usually need a couple of weeks to clear my head and to kind of breathe out the NFL and to recover from the season. Usually I take a long, extended long weekend to get away and to reset, but it got canceled last week because of all the weather in both the Northeast as well as in the Texas Houston area. And so I haven't had that yet. I will have it coming up next weekend, but I haven't missed the NFL yet. Even, you know, the highlights are not stirring anything within me because it's been so busy with all the potential trade news, the trade bait, the clickbait, if you will, but also the moves that have already happened. So we're not even to the new league year yet. Although, do you know what? Monday is March 1st. What? How is that possible? I can't wrap my brain around it. Monday is March 1st. The new league year starts March 17th, and we've got the legal tampering period before that. We still don't even know what the salary cap will be, though if you missed my conversation with former agent and salary cap expert Joel Corey in the first hour, he was amazing. I'm so nerdy. I could have asked him questions forever, but we talked about what teams are doing behind the scenes, but also what agents should be doing to prepare for this unprecedented offseason and to get their clients ready. We asked him his advice for Deshaun Watson, if he's repping Deshaun. And also, he had a great column. He has a great column on CBSSports.com about how the Cowboys can get Dak signed to a long-term deal because Dak has all the leverage now. So check out that conversation. It'll be part of our podcast. And we always post the link to our podcast on both Twitter and Facebook every weekday morning. Plus, I usually go back and tweet links later in the day. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Did I read what I was supposed to read to start the hour? Because I don't know if I did or not.
Not yet, but you're about to.
I am about to. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. That reminds me, my mortgage is due on Monday as well. I know producer Dave just nodded. Yep, in the same boat. And it's always a little stickier when it comes in between two paychecks. You got to make sure that you plan ahead. I know many of you Americans, whether it's rent or mortgage, you're in the same exact space. All right, so the latest with Russell Wilson. Well, the plot thickens, kind of, but not really. Don't fall for it, you guys. Do not fall for it. The Seahawks are not trading Russell Wilson, even though his agent spoke to, this is so funny, his agent spoke to Adam Schefter on Thursday just to stir the pot. There's no other reason for this. Now, we recognize that John Schneider is fielding phone calls. Why? Because John Schneider's a GM. He'd be neglecting his job if he wasn't fielding phone calls. But there's been no public response from Pete Carroll or from John Schneider about these public grievances aired by one Russell Wilson about
Mr.
how
unlimited
about how much he's been hit, about the fact that he thinks he should be involved in personnel decisions, yada, yada, yada. So his agent is now piling on. We all know that Russ is frustrated, maybe trying to get the team to sit up and take notice. He does have a no-trade clause, so he'd have to waive that in order for the Seahawks to be dealt. Now, his agent clarifies, Russell has not asked for a trade. And, in fact, Seattle has not approached him with a potential trade. Duh! Of course not! Seattle's not trading Russell Wilson!
Oh, no!
What are they going to do? Go get Gardner Minshew? Stop it! They were a division winner last year. They're not picking high enough in the draft. Russ was a third-round draft pick, I think, and he actually started his rookie year. So I shouldn't say that. Dak Prescott, not a first-round draft pick. He started his rookie year because of injuries to Romo. So you can find a diamond in the rough, but they're not trading away their franchise quarterback. Not this season. Not when it would be a massive cap hit, blah, 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 blah.
Poop fest.
Yeah, it's turning into one. So his agent, Mark Rogers, has indicated that if the Seahawks want to trade him, please make me roll my eyes. The only teams he would go to, this is according to his agent, Dallas Cowboys, New Orleans Saints, Las Vegas Raiders, and Chicago
the
Bears.
The Chicago Bears.
Well, they actually need a quarterback, so there's possibility. But why would the Seahawks just give the Chicago Bears their quarterback? Here, you take him. The Saints don't need a quarterback. I mean, Russ would be an upgrade over either Jameis or Taysom Hill, but they don't need a quarterback. And let's not forget, the Saints are already over the salary cap and are about to feel a massive crunch, which is why even if Drew Brees, who is out in California playing golf, even if Drew Brees decides to return, he's already restructured his deal. Isn't he making like something, I think it's around $1 million in 21 if he decides to play again. The Raiders have Derek Carr, and the latest report on Carr is that they're not moving on from him, that they're not planning on trading him. Marcus Mariota, they're going to let him go, but they're not planning on getting rid of Derek Carr and changing QBs. And the Cowboys for now, I mean, if you can't sign Dak to a long-term deal, maybe you consider this, but what would you have to give up? You're trying to rebuild in a bunch of other areas on that Dallas roster. What would you have to give up to get Russell Wilson? Right now, the idea is 3 first-round picks. What? Okay. So, in other words, they're not trading Russell Wilson because these are the 4 teams he'd go to, and they don't feel like real... they don't feel like prime opportunities, at least not right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, a couple of, I thought, candid comments from KJ Wright, who himself recently said on Jim Rome that he's not taking a pay cut to stay in Seattle because he does too much work. I agree with that. I shouldn't say never, but I would agree. If you're doing more work than you've ever done, why would you be taking a pay cut? But this time, KJ Wright was talking about Russell Wilson and his state of mind on Sirius XM NFL Radio.
I did not sense, you know, any unhappiness. I obviously saw the struggles that they were facing on that side. But as you said, Russ has always been the guy to just buy the books, you know, always speaking highly of everyone. And so what he, you know, his comments did catch the world by surprise. And but, you know, he expressed himself, and hopefully that doesn't cause too much ruckus within the organization. But, you know, he definitely caught everybody by surprise.
So this is another report that's out there. Take it all with a grain of salt. But that Russell Wilson saw it come to a boiling point when they had this meeting to talk about fixing the offense. And he was so frustrated with the Seahawks coaches that he actually stormed out of the meeting. Also doesn't really seem like Russell Wilson, which is what KJ Wright is saying.
I had doubt in the play call.
So this is something that was, oh heavens, are we still on that? This is something that was reported in The Athletic and confirmed to other sources. And part of the stretch where he kept turning the ball over and turning the ball over, this particular meeting that kind of blew up happened after their Thursday night game against the Arizona Cardinals. So the Seahawks had already dropped a couple of games, 3 of 4. And he was coughing the ball up left and right. And so as much as I recognize that the offensive line bears some of the responsibility, how about don't turn the ball over? And then maybe those games don't look quite as bad as they did. And here's where KJ Wright yet again steps in and offers his perspective and says, hey, the offensive line has taken all the heat.
We all understand the understand rule of in-house stays in-house. And when you let stuff outside of the building, that's when everybody can start pouring their, you know, 2 cents within the organization. You don't want to do that as a player. But it's just real unfortunate that this narrative got put on the offensive line, because it's always been a team thing. Whether we successful or unsuccessful, it's always a team thing. So I just think it's just unfortunate that this narrative that has been put out there.
I like this from KJ Wright, who's a leader in that Seahawks locker room. It's not fair that everybody's piling on the offensive line. And he believes, as has been the philosophy in the Seattle locker room, that all this stuff gets kept in-house. And yet here is Russ airing his grievances publicly on Sirius XM NFL. I really like those comments from KJ Wright. He's not saying to Russ, you're wrong. He's not saying that he isn't okay to be frustrated, only that This kind of stuff needs to be settled within the family, if you will. Wilson's been sacked nearly 400 times in 144 regular season games, 47 sacks in 2020. Yes, the offensive line has suffered at times, and there are times when Wilson doesn't get rid of the ball because he thinks he can extend the play. Let's talk to Mark, who's in Nashville. Mark, you got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, good morning, Amy.
Hey.
I know we were talking about Black History Month, and I heard you discussing that, but I'm going to say one of my inspirations of Black History Month, I'm going a little off the board with it, but mine was my dad, three-time Small Businessman of the Year in the state of Tennessee, one of the first blacks to get that award in the state of Tennessee. He participated in athletics a little much, but that's my hero every year, all the time.
I like it. It's great when our heroes come within our families, right? People ask me my heroes, and I think often they expect them to be athletes or expect them to be people in the business. But my two grandmothers are my heroes. What they lived through, obviously, I still have my Grammy Helen. She's about to be 99, but my maternal grandmother lived to 91, and they saw and survived so much. So I agree with you. Heroes in our own family. That's amazing. And Mark, I'm so glad to hear about your dad. What kind of business did he have?
He was a general contractor. He did contracts for veterans hospitals and stuff like that. But a great man, well known in the state of Tennessee. Miss him a lot. He died back in 2001. So, you know, I always recognize my dad every year. Matter of fact, I'm going on a radio station this weekend for Black History Month and talk about him.
Oh, cool.
So, but yeah, I just wanted to get that out there. But
awesome.
You were talking about Deshaun Watson.
You just have like 10 seconds. 10 seconds.
Yeah, I think he'll end up with the Carolina Panthers, Amy.
I would say David Tepper is probably desperate to have it. Mark, thanks so much for calling, and I'm glad that you can honor your dad with some tributes to him in Nashville. We appreciate hearing from you. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk. Mark makes a good point that David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, is tired of losing. It's been some middling seasons since he bought the team. He's extremely rich. Would he be willing to go for broke and offer three first-round picks to entice the Texans to give up Deshaun Watson?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.